Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That was Mike Monaco on the ABC broadcast yesterday afternoon. Bruins beat the New York Rangers 6-3 at TD Garden. Quick aside, really cool moment for Mike Monaco that I saw play out on Twitter. So Mike came up through the Boston minor league sports scene, done a bunch of Red Sox games on NESN, did some minor league work before that as well. He's also a play-by-play guy on ESPN. Yes, Jacob.
He's the best. I mean, he's just such a nice guy to talk to as well.
Oh, so you've had interactions with Mike.
Oh, yeah. He called the Boston College Pinstripe Bowl, and I got to talk to him there.
Oh, yeah.
I also saw him in passing at Fenway a bunch of times.
Okay, cool. Well, that's even greater to know. I you never know behind the scenes until you hear it. He comes off as a very nice guy on the broadcast. But anyways, he put up a picture of him in the Jack Edwards booth at TD Garden, which has the logo emblazoned on the top high above the ice, and put out a really nice message about growing up and watching the Bruins and listening to Jack Edwards. And it was his first time calling a Bruins game, and he did so on ABC, and Jack responded back and had some lovely things to say about Mike as a broadcaster. Then he tweeted a photo of his dog and said, "My dog slept through the entire game," but that's okay. That doesn't take away from the fact that was really cool to see. As again, and I'm Jacob, I'm right there with you, where I'm a huge fan of him. I don't know where we're supposed to wade into broadcasters or not, but if I heard that Mike Monaco was the new TV voice of the Red Sox in 2025, I'd be a happy guy. But that's okay. No disrespect to Dave O'Brien. I appreciate him and what he does. He's the consummate professional, but I'm a huge fan of Mike and what he does. But he provided the soundtrack for the Bruins 6-3 win over the New York Rangers yesterday at TD Garden. A hat trick for David Pastrnak, including 2 in the third period and an empty net. Pastrnak coming off of leading the NHL with 24 points over 14 games in the month of January, had 10, then 12, then 15 in the 3 months prior. Jeremy Swayman, the win in net, 22 saves on 25 shots. He in the month of January, 904 save percentage, which was a season best. 339 goals against average, however. So it's important to remember the distinction between save percentage and goals against average, where GAA is more of a team identifier, where your save percentage actually gives you an idea, okay, how efficient is my goalie being? Goals against average is just as much a defensive stat as it is a goaltending stat. And I don't know if it's personnel, I don't know if it's coaching, I don't know if it's systems or whatever else, but I can't remember a Bruins team that has had more trouble dealing with offenses in transition than this year's. It seems like the communication between your defensive pair and your center, as the Bruins are backchecking into the defensive zone trying to defend, has been horrible. Even in games where you're winning, it seems like if you're leading in the shot count, you're controlling play in the offensive end, which doesn't happen all the time for the Bruins, but it's happened a little bit more, at least under Joe Sacco, than it did under Jim Montgomery. Whoever you're playing, and you've seen teams from the Jets to the Kraken do this, where they'll take it back up the ice, they move through the neutral zone like a knife through butter, and then all of a sudden they're getting a high danger scoring chance and often getting a rebound, which is a Swayman issue, but it's also an allowing guys to shoot uncontested and not communicating, okay, I've got this guy, I've got the shooting lane, I've got, I'm forcing him to the corner, I'm forcing the shot from out wide. It's just it's a communication thing, and That's a roster construction issue, because when you look at the way that the Bruins have compiled their defense, it's a lot of guys coming in from different places. You have a really weird mix of young players like Mason Lorai and Mikey Callahan, who unfortunately left the game with an injury yesterday. You have guys that have come up through the Bruins system who are more established, like McAvoy, and then you have the additions like Lindholm and Zadorov and Andrew Peak, and it's kind of been put together, and there have been times this season where it just looks uncomfortable and a bit out of sync. And all that to say that didn't really necessarily manifest itself as much yesterday. And the reason why I put those details out there is just because there's an important distinction between Swayman's save percentage, which was, in the 4 months that he's played, 884, 900, 889, and 904. Let me clarify by saying none of those are good enough, but an above 900 save percentage for Swayman in the month of January and a 339 goals against average, those two stats don't necessarily tell the same story, where one is more actually informing you on what your goalie's doing versus the other is more telling you what your defense as a unit is doing. Bruins will certainly take that, and I got a chuckle out of a tweet from Mike Grinnell, who works on the Spit and Chicklets podcast on Barstool. He just tweeted out, #... thank you, Rich Keefe, which kind of made me laugh. That happened back at the beginning of January. It was January 10th, I think, is when that whole video went viral, with Keefe talking about the Bruins locker room and stuff like that. I'll tell you one thing. It kicked David Pastrnak in the ass, because he has been unbelievable recently, scoring at a league-leading clip and once again entering himself into the league's best natural goal scorer conversation. Pavel Zacha was nearly a point per game in the month of January, which was great. Morgan Geekie, 7 goals in 15 games. That's 11 points in 15 games overall. Brad Marchand, good. 11 points in 15 games, 30 penalty minutes, and a minus 11, though, which is not good. And that's where you reach your issues with the Bruins, because then your scoring falls off a cliff. 9 points in 15 games for Lindholm, 7 in 15 for Charlie Coyle. And then you got to go down to Matt Patra with 5 assists in 9 games. Didn't even play the full month, and he's already a top 10 scorer in the month of January. You scored 6 goals, 3 of them came from Pasta. That's fantastic. He's riding a hot streak, and there is a direct correlation between if he's scoring and if you're winning games. But goal scoring is by nature an ebb and flow type practice in the NHL. So what happens if, God forbid, Pasta isn't averaging nearly 2 points a game in the month of February? I know yesterday's a poor sample size because he literally scored a hat trick. But what happens if he slows back down? And that's what I will continue to worry about this team, and still recognize as a weakness, as you try to compare, well, where are they within the NHL's landscape? I'll tell you where they are right now. Right now, they're out of the playoffs again. They did win yesterday, but they're tied in points with Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay has 3 games in hand on the Bruins right now. They can go 1-2 in those 3 games, and they're still 2 points ahead of you. They could go 0-2-1 and they're still ahead of you. Not to break down simple math in the NHL, but that's what's at stake. Points percentage-wise, you're out of the playoffs. And the teams that are behind the Bruins in the wild card race make this even worse. Bruins have played 54 games. They're 26-22-6. 58 total points. 19 regulation wins, 26 regulation and overtime wins. All good, all great, that's fine. The teams directly behind the Bruins in the wild card right now, that is Detroit, the New York Islanders, Montreal Canadiens, and New York Rangers. 55, 55, 53, 52 points. All four of those teams have three games in hand on the Bruins right now. You're 1 point behind Columbus, who, I mean, what a fantastic story. You want to root for something in the NHL if you're a little disgruntled by the way the Bruins are playing? Root for Columbus after the tragedy that struck that team this offseason with Johnny Gaudreau. To see them be able to put an effort together that has them in the playoff picture, I'm rooting for them every day and twice on Sunday, which I guess is appropriate for today. They have 59 points. They're in the playoffs. And then your teams ahead of you in your own division are Florida, Toronto, and Ottawa. And all those teams have games in hand on the Bruins. Once the schedule kind of shakes itself out, this could start to get a little bleak. If the teams in front of you simply take care of the business that they have at hand. And so it creates a unique conversation about the path of the Bruins moving forward, because normally you just have a regular NHL trade deadline and you essentially just have to do what you can before, in this case, March 7th, 2025. This year's a bit different. Because of the impending Four Nations tournament, it's kind of created an unspoken second trade deadline. And I'll read this quote from the Hockey News. The Four Nations tournament has changed the way teams are thinking about the trading deadline. Most teams only have 5 or 6 games from the time of the return of the Four Nations to the NHL trade deadline. Bruins have 3 more games before the Four Nations, and then they have 7 games from the Four Nations to the trade deadline, only 3 of which are against playoff teams. But you've already seen 2 seismic deals in the NHL. Mikko Rantanen and Taylor Hall going to the Carolina Hurricanes, Marty Natchez going back to Colorado, and then JT Miller going from Vancouver back to New York. He made an immediate impact, but that team was lethargic, and whoo boy, do they look unmotivated out there in New York. Good Lord Almighty, they did not seem to have much fight in that dog yesterday. It also made it kind of nice. I was watching the game with a Rangers fan, so I just had a quick little smirk on my face, but I digress. Teams are already doing their business right now in the kind of week or so leading up to the Four Nations Cup. So Bruins have some decisions to make. We'll weigh those decisions in just a moment as we continue the Bruins conversation. Not to go all doom and gloom on where this team is. You take the wins. That was a good win. That was a win you needed to have against a team that is struggling, a team that's really searching for an identity right now. You got that yesterday, but you still have some pretty tough decisions in front of you to make. And the calendar that you would normally expect in an NHL season, which would give you over a month to make this decision from February 2nd through March 7th, is abnormal this season. And teams are already starting to make their moves, and you kind of have to make that decision sooner rather than later as to whether or not you're going to make that move. 617-779-7937. What should the Bruins do? And do you trust Don Sweeney and Cam Neely and company to do it? Load up the lines. You can text us as well as that same number to talk some hockey. We've got plenty more on the Bruins and more coming up after this. But first, here's Jacob Lasner with what.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
It's trending. That was from Cam Neely speaking at the Bruins team gala about a week ago. And I know that that clip is now, you know, it's not completely newsworthy at the moment in that it didn't just happen, but it's certainly worthy of remembering and worthy of discussion because it's so rare to hear an executive in Boston sports say anything to the effect of, hey, we're thinking about breaking this thing down, at least since, let's say, the turn of the century, since the Patriots started their dynastic run. Then you get the Red Sox, then the Bruins post-2008 completely turned the tide on hockey in Boston, and all while the Celtics are doing the same thing with their big three. And since that point, it's pretty much been at least go for it all the time. Or if we're not going for it, we're certainly not admitting that we're not going for it. Even the gosh darn Red Sox in recent years, though it's been blatantly obvious, and we'll get to them because there's more news percolating from the Boston Globe this morning that just absolutely chaps my you-know-what. But before any of that, even while they've shown that they're trying to retool the farm system, whatever else, they've given us lines like Full Throttle, and everything has been pointed towards, hey, we're still going to try to win a championship. That's certainly been the case with the Bruins. And that was the case on that same night with Charlie Jacobs, who said something to the effect of, we don't deal in playoff appearances. We deal in championships. You've appeared in a few. You've only won one. But the reason I say that is because there wasn't an alignment between the ownership and the front office as to the direction of the 2024-25 Boston Bruins. And it's significant. And we mentioned this just before the last break. The Bruins have 3 games before the Four Nations, part of which are being played here in Boston, by the way, which is going to be a ton of fun. They are home against Minnesota on Tuesday. Minnesota, one of the best teams in the NHL this year. Then they're on the road against the Rangers, which should be a win, but it's a back-to-back. You play that on Wednesday. And then they're home against the very difficult Vegas Golden Knights on Saturday. Then, that being the 8th of February, you're off until the 22nd. You come back with a 3-game homestand. Trade deadline is March 7th. 7 games between the end of the Four Nations on the 22nd and the trade deadline on the 7th, 3 of which are against current playoff teams, 4 of which are not. So the question then becomes, do you make a decision on your future before February 8th, or do you wait through the Four Nations, get out of that, go through your somewhat challenging but somewhat manageable 7-game stretch and make a decision there? I would have to imagine the answer is the latter. And the reason I say that is because you're still fully in the playoff picture, though you're on the outside looking in right now. You're the next best team in the hunt for the wild card. So you're by no means out of it. I know the math is not on the Bruins' side, but you're still tied for a wild card spot right now if you take games played out of it. So you're not a bad team. And if you ultimately decide that the path that you're going with is we need to retool, we need to recoup assets, we need to shed salary cap, we need to finally admit that the window to win a championship with this current group, and by current, I say the Bergeron, Chara, Krejci, Marchand group. I put Marchand, given his age and his experience in that group, and I put David Pastrnak, Charlie McAvoy, and Jeremy Swayman as the three pillars of the next group of Bruins. Next group of Bruins leaders, superstars, captains, who knows? You're finally admitting by retooling this year that window that opened up in 2007 and extended with championship caliber teams and won Stanley Cup in 2011, you're finally admitting that that window has been shut by retooling this year. Because you have some veterans and some names that you can dangle out there for teams. Trent Frederick, I think, is the first to go. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, making $2.3 million. Unfortunately, he's not having a year that's going to recoup you a lot of assets, but you can get a draft pick for that player. And I think you can recreate his production in the aggregate for a much more economical price than the $2.3 million you're playing him right now. And he's 26. This is what he is. Last year was the absolute peak of being a point per every other game and a pain in the ass for your opponents. That was the peak of what you're going to get. I think you can get some value for that. Then your conversations start to get a little bit more difficult. Morgan Geeky, you have to make a decision on him. He is an RFA, so you don't have to rush it. But I'd be exploring a conversation there. Oliver Wahlstrom on the books for $1 million, whatever. He's going to be a healthy scratch more than he's not. Mark Kastelic, Cole Koepke, Justin Brazo, you can keep them around. They're not going to get you anything. The two names on offense that are going to be the ones where if you're going to retool, you're going to have to rip the Band-Aid off. That's Charlie Coyle, and it has to be Brad Marchand. Now, I'm not even saying that this needs to be a permanent thing. You can trade Marchand to a team that has a legitimate chance to win a Stanley Cup, which you do not. And why not explore bringing him back in the offseason? His contract is done at the end of the year. He's 36 years old. And as much as he is a career Bruin, you'd like to see him retire a career Bruin. That's all fine and good. You have to start looking towards the future right now.
Go pound sand.
Thank you. And I know that's what a lot of people are going to say, but don't you owe it to the player to give him a chance to win a cup? Which I don't think he has this year in Boston, quite frankly. And B, you could recoup a lot of assets and then just sign him back. Don't name a captain for the remainder of the year. Sign him back. Everybody wins. It's a little conspiratorial, but plenty of teams have done it. It's responsible asset management. You're telling me that a team that's fighting for the chance to win a cup. Look at the top of the standings. Even go out west if you don't want to send him to somebody who you're going to see very much this year. A team like a Winnipeg, Winnipeg, Dallas, Minnesota, or Edmonton. Can you imagine what Edmonton would pay before they have to pay Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl $1 billion to try to remain on their salary cap? What a partially retained Brad Marchand would recoup for you as they try to avenge the demons from last year. That team is desperate to a point where you could hold them over a barrel and get the maximum amount back that you can then turn around and actually make your team viable in the future. Because you have had a horrid draft record other than the three guys I named before. McAvoy, Pastrnak, Jeremy Swayman. Johnny Beecher, first round pick. Fourth liner, maybe. Dean Letourneau. He's your BC guy, isn't he, Jacob?
Yes.
Yeah? How's he been doing?
No comment.
No comment. Good answer. We'll talk a little Beanpot next, too. I want to get into that because I love that tournament. But you're on a heater in the worst way possible in terms of the picks and the assets that you're acquiring. So I'm sure that does not inspire confidence that Don Sweeney should be the one that's going through this. Here is what I am recommending. I am saying Trent Frederick, I am saying Charlie Coyle, and I am saying Brad Marchand are the three guys that I'm not forcing out of town, but I'm dangling. I'm having conversations with teams that I think are really that one piece away from being cup contenders. I am more than likely already engaging Marchand in a conversation of, listen, we're going to do this for our franchise's benefit. We're going to do this for your benefit. And then we are more than happy to engage with you on a contract to return, play 2-3 years, however many more years your body can take, because those are some hard miles that Brad Marchand has played. Come back to Boston. You will help us. You will help us in our future. You'll help us in our present. You'll help us in our future. And then you can be a part of our future as well. Frederick, I don't know if he's a part of the part of it long term. Charlie Coyle has a year left on his contract. You may have to retain a little bit to get good value back, but you can still get good value back on that player. And if you still want to have him a part of the fray and you're still not as comfortable with going that far into it, I understand. I'll let Don Sweeney preside over the trade deadline as he sees fit. But the implication by retooling is that you're not going to make the playoffs. It's happened, but it's very rare that you see a team trade assets like that away, get a bump, and then make the playoffs. It's happened, but it's very rare. And I don't think this team doesn't have the young up and coming depth that's going to replace the guys that I just mentioned. Patra is a good player. I think that Fabian Lysell deserves more of a chance in a longer run here to try to prove himself. But other than that, there isn't a ton that you're reaching down to Providence for and going, all right, time to give our next wave the chance to succeed. You're missing the playoffs. That's when I think you finally rip the Band-Aid off with this front office. If you are going through a retool at the trade deadline, the implication is that you're bringing in draft picks. And I can't sit here as a Bruins fan and stomach another Don Sweeney draft when you actually have the picks in order to do something. I can't do it. I can't do it because I don't trust him. So is that actually going to happen? I don't know. I mean, the Bruins have three games before the Four Nations, then seven games. That's 10 games total. And it's about a 50-50 split playoff and non-playoff. If you go 5-5, are you retooling? You beat the teams you're supposed to. You lose the teams you're supposed to. Do you go through a retool then? You're still only four games over 500. Other teams will have the chance to catch up to you points-wise, games played-wise, in the post-trade deadline stretch. If you go 7-3 and you ride this wave after a good win against a lethargic Rangers team, then you probably don't. No, I would guess, because of the way the schedule is structured and you have winnable games after the Four Nations Cup, that the Bruins will not fall in the category of the teams that are treating the Four Nations tournament as a trade deadline. I would guess that because of the severity of the decisions that you have to make, they're going to use every single game, day, hour, minute, second available to them to try to decide if they really want to go through with what will be the franchise waving the white flag and transitioning into a new era and a rebuilding era. And an era that's going to suck, quite honestly. An era that is going to be painful, and an era that's going to expose your front office's ineptitudes when it comes to drafting and development. Because This is also a factor of being as successful as the Bruins were. Even when they weren't in the Stanley Cup, in the Eastern Conference Final, winning the President's Trophy, they were still a playoff team. So at very, very, very best, you were getting a 15, 16, 17, 18th overall draft pick. And that's not just the first round pick. That's all the way through. So you're not getting your pick of the litter. As generational talents have floated through the NHL, you were still getting mid-teens to 20s and beyond in terms of the first round picks that you were getting, if you even made those picks. Because plenty were shipped out in trades for the likes of Rick Nash and other notable trade deadline acquisitions that either did or did not work. So even if you were making those picks, they were in the middle of the first rounds at best. And sometimes they were in the 20s and beyond, and sometimes they belonged to another team. But when you did make those picks, other than McAvoy and Pasta in the first round, you chunked it, you clunked it, you blew it. And that's beyond 2015, which is where this entire issue started 10 years ago. Now with, you know, no remnants of that draft left on your roster. It started there. It's continued. You just don't have that second wave of player. And though I think that retool is the responsible adult in the room decision for this year's group, you also have to have somebody that you trust to make those draft picks, and I don't think that the Bruins have that person leading them right now. So what do you do? What do you do? Do you trust that a decade-long trend of poor drafting is going to reverse itself? Or do you have a hot next 10 games, 6-4, 7-3, God forbid 8-2? No, this does not sound like this year's Bruins team, but been proven wrong before, can get proven wrong again. A lot of things can change. And maybe a breather of a couple of weeks, other than a handful of players, you know, you have a bunch of your roster that's going to get a couple of weeks off. Maybe it's a good thing and not a bad thing that you're getting that kind of time, giving those guys a blow, so to speak. So maybe that's the kind of thing that kicks you in the right direction. You have a hot 7 games coming out of it. You don't need to worry about retooling. Hell, let's go for it. We have a couple first-round picks. We've recouped some of our draft assets. Let's go for it. Let's trade for an Elias Pettersson from Vancouver. Or let's go more of a rental-type situation. Let's go back to the Rangers and see what they want for Chris Kreider. Let's add in that top-six winger that you certainly are missing right now. And if you continue with the pace that you have with Morgan Geeky and Pasternak, and then you have Marchand and Chris Kreider in any order that you want in your top six with Elias Lindholm and Pavel Zacha, plus the return to health for Charlie McAvoy and Brandon Carlo, hey, maybe that's the right way to go about it. Maybe we can fix our defense on the fly, make one trade on offense and fix our offense. And maybe Jeremy Swayman can just have a sleep on the right side of the bed for the first time all season and realize why he's getting paid the money that he is. Maybe we can bring in the Linus Ullmark replacement, not in terms of talent, but in terms of the goaltending camaraderie, your emergency goaltender hugger, so to speak. And you can get Swayman right between the ears in addition to physically on the ice. Those are a lot of ifs. Those are a lot of ifs. But it's a lot harder to admit that we're not good enough and we need to do something about it than it is to try to convince yourself that we are good enough. We just need to do X, Y, and Z, and all of a sudden we can compete with the best teams in the NHL. Will that hard decision be made? Will the Boston Bruins in their front office freely admit we need to break this thing down and purposely not make the playoffs? I don't know. That doesn't sound like this front office. Doesn't sound like this ownership group. And we'll spin the wheel once again. We'll ride the roulette wheel and see if maybe this year is the year that everything breaks in the right direction come the end of the regular season in the playoffs. And I hate to say it, but in 1 year's time, when we're sitting here on February 2nd, 2026, we're going to be having this exact same conversation. If you don't break it down, there isn't a move out there, in my estimation, that just solves everything that you've done wrong. Elias Pettersson is the biggest name that's on the trade block right now or was on the trade block. I don't even know if he is after the JT Miller trade was made. I know that there are rumors that are floating out there. He's a fantastic player. He's also a head case and can disappear for games, weeks, months at a time. There's a lot of talent there, but he's not money in the bank for every single game. And that matches the Bruins perfectly. Maybe it's a match made in heaven. Inconsistent superstar, inconsistent hockey team. Maybe that's the direction that you should go. Package a million first out there and bring in Elias Pettersson. When it works, oh boy, is it going to be pretty. You thought 6-3 against the Rangers yesterday was pretty? Add Pettersson in there. When everything's firing in the right direction and Pasternak's leading the NHL in points and goals and everything else in the month of January, then you add Pettersson in there. Oh, my God. They would have beat him 20-3 yesterday. But when it goes cold and an already inconsistent roster has an inconsistent superstar that's just injected right at the top of it, oh, boy, is it going to be ugly. And is it going to be loud among Bruins fans? You thought the boos were loud before. Then you make that deal. And you get into a playoff series, all of a sudden Pettersson is nowhere to be found because the physical style that you're getting against a Florida or a Carolina or whomever you end up getting, that physical style all of a sudden makes him retract into a shell, and he and David Pastrnak are two cocoons on the same line against each other. I don't know. I don't want to go through that. I think there's a responsible way to go, but it's a very tough decision to make. To willingly say that you're going to do that. 617-779-7937. What would you do if you were the Bruins? Big 10 games coming up. A season in franchise direction defining 10 games before and then after the Four Nations. Would you make a move for or against? Would you bring in Pettersson? Would you trade Marchand? Curious to hear your thoughts. You can text us as well at that same number, 617-779-7937. Couple great hockey tournaments coming up in the Boston area over the next couple of weeks, including one that my good friend Jacob Lasner was talking about in his trending just a few moments ago. We'll talk about that next.
Nothing like a little college hockey talk with the country's greatest college hockey tournament, NCAA tournament notwithstanding. The Bean Pots, 72nd edition. Happening at TD Garden beginning tomorrow. Two games on the calendar. It is Boston University and Harvard at 5 o'clock. And then the Boston College Eagles, number one team in the pairwise right now, against Northeastern, who has won two in a row and five of the last six Beanpot tournaments. That game is at 8 o'clock. And I bring up this topic partially to bring in my producer today, Jacob Lasner. Jacob, how are you?
Fantastic.
So give me your background. You are at Boston College.
Yeah, I've been calling BC games for three seasons now, starting off with a game against Northeastern during my sophomore year, and I called that Beanpot as well, in which Harvard beat us with 1 second to go in overtime.
So yes.
I've never seen us win a Beanpot game before that actually mattered. So this year would be a good place to start as a senior.
Yes, it certainly would, and I bring you in to ask you about Boston College because the growth of Ryan Leonard is it fair to say the nation's best goal scorer? Is he leading the nation in goals?
Yeah, Ryan Leonard is leading the nation in goals right now. He has 22 goals and I think 24 games, so he's just under a goal per game, and he's had six goals in his past three games.
That is stupid, first of all. Quick story before we continue this. So Ryan Leonard, Amherst, Massachusetts native. I played hockey growing up with his brother, John, who is in the AHL right now. Great kid, unbelievably talented hockey player, but apparently pales in comparison to what Ryan is becoming. So you have not seen a game of consequence in your collegiate career for the Eagles in the Beanpot. Are there reasons, Ryan Leonard and otherwise, to believe that this year could be a different year for the Eagles?
So it's a simple story of BC is just so much better than Northeastern on paper.
Okay.
And they played against Lowell on Friday night, and they looked like it looked like Lowell was in a completely different division than Boston College.
Right.
Even though they're number eight in the country, so I think BC is just firing on all cylinders right now, and everything's coming together at the right time. We got Leonard. He has seven goals in his past three games, actually.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, and we have Jacob Fowler, who has a 27% shutout percentage, which is insane at any level. And he started every game except for two for the Eagles. He did get suspended for punching someone early in the season. So he brings that energy. You know that. And the second line of BC is also clicking. That is where Ryan Leonard is playing. He's playing with two Bruins prospects, Oscar Jelvik and Andre Gasso. They have taken a step forward in their junior seasons. And then on that first line of BC, that you have a first overall talent in James Hagans playing alongside Gabe Perreault and Teddy Stiga, the golden goal scorer for Team USA in the World Junior Championships. I mean, what more could you want on a college hockey team, to be honest?
That's true. I mean, that's a top six that you simply you can't match up against anywhere in the country. Perreault, so the Eagles lost Will Smith from last year's team, right?
Yes.
They lost Will Smith, but they've still been able to recoup it. And I've seen some videos of James Hagans. I haven't seen him in person to this point. I haven't spent as much time in the college hockey world and Hockey East as I would have wanted to, coming from ECAC stuff in New York. Hagans has this particular set of skills that I don't know who taught him. I don't know who his coaches were growing up. I don't know if this is just an innate thing that he does. When he has the puck, he never looks at the puck. His head is up and looking, you know, looking for either passing lanes, shooting lanes, breakout lane, whatever. Lanes to skate the puck, whatever else. 100% of the time out of 100. So vision is certainly something that you can attach to that player. That's going to be something that certainly makes him. You said first overall, right? Is he at the point where he's the presumptive number one overall?
Well, he's going to be in the top three. There's this defenseman from Canada, Matthew Schaefer, who's probably going to be the first overall selection, but he's been injured all season, so no scouts have really gotten a good look at him, but they have gotten a good look at James Hagans. His finishing is, you know, it leaves much to be desired, if I'm being honest, but his playmaking and his ability to look up and find his teammates is incredible.
Yeah.
Sometimes to a fault, it's like he'll be looking up and the puck will just go right by him and he won't even notice. but it's been fantastic to watch BC. Another fun fact, they have not allowed a goal against an even strength in 7 straight games.
Good Lord. Really? How? Okay. I didn't even know that was a possible thing to accomplish. But all right, so BC is certainly your odds-on favorite, number one in the pairwise. But Boston University, to their credit, they to BC's 35 points to lead Hockey East, have 31, 10-5-1 in conference overall. And then Northeastern, to their credit, they are further down, 4-9-3 in Hockey East play, 17 points in ninth. So again, BC should be able to handle business there. Your one team outside of Hockey East, that is Harvard, in 22 games in ECAC this season, 6-7-2, 22 points. They are sixth in the conference overall. So very excited. The Beanpot on the men's side, 72nd edition at TD Garden. Your semifinal games, 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock tomorrow, over on 850 on the AM dial. So you can hear them driving around if you're looking for some sports action on a Monday night as we countdown to kickoff of Super Bowl 59. No, the New England Patriots are not involved in the Super Bowl festivities this season. Their quarterback, however, was involved in the Pro Bowl, and he finally spoke. We didn't hear from him after the season. We didn't hear from him attached to Mike Vrabel's hiring. Didn't hear from him on this station, on any station. Finally, via SiriusXM, did we hear from Drake May. He spoke about a lot. He talked about his new head coach, his new offensive coordinator, and what he's looking to accomplish this offseason. We flip over to the gridiron and talk Patriots football as we move into the 1 o'clock hour here on WEEI. That plus your calls next.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.